Thank you, Lord. Now, here's a question that I'd like to ask to every one of you. It's a song. It's a little chorus. And I hope Danny knows it. And I hope somebody else here knows it also. I hesitate even singing it because I don't think a whole lot of you will help me. But it says this: will you be baptized in the faith, baptized in the Holy Ghost, to be free indeed? 'Tis the power you need, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Anybody know that song? Frank, we got a duet. You'll learn it very quickly. It's a little easy melody. Do you know it, Brother Dan? Oh, I start choruses in the wrong key all the time. I usually wind up with five sharps, and I drive everyone crazy. But it goes like this. Will you be baptized in the faith, baptized in the Holy Ghost? To be free indeed, 'tis the power you'll need, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, you want to change the key on me? Is that okay? Will you be baptized in the faith, baptized in the Holy Ghost? To be free indeed, 'tis the power you'll need, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now you're getting it, so we're going to try it one more time. Ready? Here we go. Will you be baptized in the faith, baptized in the Holy Ghost? To be free indeed, 'tis the power you'll need, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now that first line is a question. Will you be baptized in the faith, baptized in the Holy Ghost? Now, I don't see anybody nodding. Sister Hofflander. Now, I'm not picking on you, but you got nods. I get nothing. Will you be baptized in the faith? Amen. Baptized in the Holy... I'm getting nods. So it's encouraging. And, you know, we need to be free indeed. It's the power you'll need. I'm trying my best in the last several months at home and here in the camp also. And I've been elsewhere and I've tried there too. Because it's my understanding from this book, not from any denominational papers of any backing of any church or any group or organization or... But it's my understanding of this book that in order for us to live for Jesus and to please Jesus and to serve Jesus and to love Jesus and to understand His Word and His will, I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't see any other way around that. And I can, if we had a lot of time, I think easily from Scripture, without having to bend and rip apart and take a half a verse of here from half a verse of there, put the two verses together. Just simply this. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do you know what that says? Some of you know it. If I started quoting it, all of you might know it. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now, that's the part of the verse that we don't think about, but for good reason. Don't get drunk on wine. What happens when you get drunk on wine? Well, I don't know altogether because I've never been drunk. So you say, well, what do you know about it? Unfortunately, I know a little bit about it because I've dealt with a lot of people who knew a lot about it. And so in talking to them, I had an understanding of what it means. And I know this. I know that when people are drunk, they don't walk straight. They walk funny. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever see people do that? They go like this. They don't walk straight. That's why when the cop pulls you out of the car, one of the things he does after he says, breathe into this, he might say, walk this straight line. Good luck. And they can't. Because when you're inebriated by an intoxicating beverage, you cannot walk straight. And I've also spoken to people when they were under the influence. Have you ever done that?
How you doing, Ernie?
They talk funny. They talk a little straight. They can't talk straight. And I've also known, and I had a good friend of mine. I played ball with him a lot when I was a kid. He's a good ball player. But one time I saw him, he had a broken arm. I said, Tommy, what happened to you? And he said, well, I got drunk, and I thought I could fly. So I jumped out of the loft, the second floor loft. And I said, well, you flap it, flap all you want. He couldn't fly. Gravity won. Always does. But he thought that he could fly. Because I've noticed this, that when people come, and there are a lot of other things too, but when you're drunk with wine, we're in a success, you don't walk straight, you don't talk straight, you don't think straight. And maybe that's why the Lord wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Because you and I, in and of ourselves, I can't walk straight. I need to come not under the influence of wine, we're in a success. I don't even want to be under my own influence because I can't walk a straight line by myself. I might try, and you might try, and we all might try, and we all might try with the Bible under our arms on our way or on our way home from church, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so I find that we need to then go constantly, more than we should have to, cleanse me, Jesus, wash me. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God that I can go to Him 100 million times. But should I presume upon the grace of God? Should I continue to sin that His grace may abound? Paul says, no, don't do that. That's not what it's all about. Thank God for His mercy and grace and the blood that forgives and cleanses. But in Romans, right where it talks about that, and it talks about our great salvation in the book of Romans, it also says if you walk in the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And there's a great battle that goes on, the flesh and the Spirit, the flesh and the Spirit. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't care how hard you want to. I don't care how hard you try. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, what's the alternative to being in the flesh? In my flesh, your flesh. The alternative is to be filled with the Spirit. Come under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Sister Hofflander said, I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know what I was praying for all the time. You think the early church in the book of Acts, when they were told to go to the city of Jerusalem, until you're endued with the power from on high, after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You think they knew what they were going there for? I don't think they had a clue. Except that he says, go and wait until you're endued. What is that? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You think they went there seeking to speak in other tongues? I don't think so. You think they went there thinking that they were now going to be the apostles and leaders of a new movement? I don't think so. I think they were just simply obeying what the Lord had told them, and that was go there, and you guys need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. He told them that before they went away. Why? Because you got to think right, that's why. You have to think my thoughts. And you can't think my thoughts in your own ability or strength or power. I tell you, the world is a wicked place, and you know that. And you know that you can't even, if you go to work, if you read a paper, if wherever you walk down the block, you can't escape girls, women that don't know how to put enough clothes on. You can't escape billboards. You can't escape things like that no matter where you turn. And if you're in college, you'll probably be asked to read about it and talk about it. You can't escape those things in the world. We are in it, but thank God we are not of it. And we don't have to be of it, and we can be holy, holy, altogether holy, pure, separate. Oh, how can I do that, though? I can't. But Jesus can, and I can come under the control of His Spirit. And then I will not only walk straight, I will think straight. He'll bring every thought to the captivity, to the obedience of Christ. He'll enable you to think pure thoughts. I've known people that couldn't think pure thoughts. They could not think pure thoughts. One man came to me and he said, I can't even lay my head on the pillow and go to sleep at night without dreaming wicked, impure, vile things. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You're going to fill your mind with the Word of God and you're going to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to learn to resist the enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit, and greater is he that is with you. And I tell you, it works. God works. He is able to deliver us and to help us and to present us faultless. I can think right. I can walk straight. I can talk straight too. Did you ever know people that can't? Some people can't say too much without lying. They just lie. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, to the church. Read the early part. Read what he says at the beginning of the book of Ephesians. To those that were dead in trespasses and sins, to those that had been quickened. And then he says to that group of people, he says, and don't lie to each other anymore. Don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. Some people do that. They tell lies even if they don't have to. I was in an attorney's office once. And I was sitting there with the attorney. My wife and I were both sitting there with the attorney in the office. And Brother Steve Norbeck, he had a call, Steve. Brother Steve Norbeck bought my house where I used to live. And he was handling, this one attorney was handling both these things because I knew Steve and he knew me. And we didn't need an attorney to do this, but we really did. And so we had this attorney and he needed to ask Steve a question. And so he called him up on the phone and he said, Mr. Norbeck, I have the Waldvogels coming into my office in a little while. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Am I here or not? I'm sitting right here. What do you mean I have them coming into my office in a little while? There was no reason for him to say that. There was nothing to be ventured, nothing to be gained, nothing to be lost. Why did he say that? Because some people just lie a lot. That's why. Some people can't say truth from the inner part. And so they just speak untruths. Some people can't speak clean words. They have to use four-letter words. They have to speak things that are risque or off the beaten path or have double meanings or innuendo. They can't help themselves. That's just what they're all about. And I expect that from people that don't know Jesus. But I don't expect that from people that know him. And especially people that are open to being filled with the Holy Spirit. He can bring my mouth, my tongue, he can control that thing. That's part of the reason why he has chosen to, in the Word of God, sometimes when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes they begin to speak in another language. Why is that? Their mouth comes under the control of God. And that unruly member, that vile member that James 3 says is set on fire of hell and nobody can tame it. Oh yes, there is someone that can. Nobody, no person, no individual. Your mother can wash your mouth out with soap 100 times a day. It's not going to change it. It's going to still be the same. But what can change it? Oh, Jesus, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Jesus, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Jesus, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Blah, 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 blah. Forgive me. I shouldn't. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to say that this year until tomorrow. And then it goes on like that, and we get frustrated. And there are a lot of frustrated Christians. There are a lot of exhausted Christians because they're trying to live the Christian life. I don't know how you want to keep doing it that way. Try harder. Well, what else am I going to say to you? Try as hard as you can to live the Christian life. Give it your best effort. Try harder than you try. You'll still fail. Because in your own strength, you only have weakness. To be free indeed, 'tis the power you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Just that little part of the verse tells us so much because it is in the imperative voice in the Greek language. I don't know Greek, but I know enough about that verse. It's in the imperative. That's a command, in other words. It's not, I'd suggest to you guys there in Ephesus that if you really want to, and you think about it a little bit, if you feel like it, why don't you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Because that might be handy sometimes. No way. Not in the New Testament. It was, you had better be filled with the Holy Spirit before you try to go out there and speak for me, because you won't know what to say. But the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say in that selfsame hour. The Holy Spirit will put words into your mouth. You don't know what to think, but the Holy Spirit will tell you what to think. You don't know what to do and where to go and where to walk. The Spirit suffered me not to go here, but the Spirit opened the door here. And I heard the Spirit say, go over to Macedonia. And the Spirit did this. And the book of Acts is the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's not the book of a great man named the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I am nothing. And in my own strength, I'm nothing. And the only thing that I know is that I can do nothing excepting through Christ who strengthens me. What does he strengthen me with, though? His Holy Spirit. And it, be filled with the Spirit is a command, and it's also in the present continuous tense. It literally says this, be being filled with the Spirit. See, Sister Hofländer is 90 almost. Don't rush it now. You don't want to get old quick. And so she's not 90. She's only in her 80s. But, you know, no matter how old you get, I saw Brother Edwin when he was 90 plus. And I've seen a lot of others that were 90 plus. And what's their cry? And what's, I want Jesus to fill me with his Spirit. I need to be filled with the Spirit. These are old people who have taught us the ways of God. Not only have they taught us the ways of God, they've shown us the ways of God. And they've shown what it means to live under the control of the Holy Spirit. And one thing I've learned from people like that is they're not dull, and they're not boring, and they're not unhappy, and they're not exhausted, and they're not tired. Did she look exhausted and tired? The lady was on a plane half the day, weren't you, or on a train? Plane.
An airplane.
Coming up then by whatever she got here with, by hook or by crook or by horse and buggy, and she flew into the camp, and she's really beat. Half of us would have had to go lay down to, oh, I can't make meeting tonight. You can't, I traveled all day. I was flying in the air, and you know, that was rough. I can't go to church tonight. And I dare say Sister Hofländer would say, I can't miss church tonight because I'm tired. I need to be here. I want him to fill me with the Spirit. I want more of Jesus. You know, every one of us, yeah, to be free indeed. Will you be baptized in the faith? Will you be being filled with the Holy Spirit, every one of you? It's in the passive voice, which means let it happen to you. I'm not going to come. The Lord's not going to come and, you know, jam the Holy Spirit, put it in. You got to ask. You got to seek. And you have to knock. And if it takes 7 years, it takes 7 years. If it takes 7 minutes, it takes 7 minutes. But whatever it takes, and while you're seeking him, I dare say you're finding him. While you're seeking, he's pouring out his Spirit upon you. While you're seeking, he's ministering to your heart. And then there comes a glorious time when you just break through into the freedom of his Spirit. But it's just the open door. That's all it is. It's the open door into a whole vista of the blessing of the pouring out of his Spirit again and again. Oh, I'm living in the glory as he's promised in his word. And just in closing, we got 3 minutes and I got to quit, and I will. But just in closing, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Godhead. He is not a it. He is not a cherry on top of the sundae, and Jesus is the big deal and the Holy Spirit is the little deal. These three are one, and you need every one of them. You need God in your life. Oh, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, I do. And I believe in God. And God is three, as the last I checked. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. There was a man named Kyle Idleman. I've told you about him before, I think earlier in the week. But I looked in my Bible when Sister Hofländer was talking. Maybe that's why I wasn't nodding when I was supposed to see if I kept it. And I'm glad I did. Because last Sunday morning in church, I just read some things. I think I jotted them down. I did. I jotted down what it was that he said. I can't find it now, but it's in here someplace. He gave the people in his congregation a piece of paper, and it had a half of a sentence on it. And the half of the sentence said, since I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, or because I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, blank. He left it blank. And he gave it out to the members of his congregation. And he had spoken to them in the previous weeks about the necessity of giving of ourselves to being filled with the Spirit of God. And he asked them, now, what does that mean to you? And so they had this piece of paper, since or because I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I blank. And then the next week he got the responses, and I read them off, and I thought I had it, and I probably do someplace. But oh, here it is. By the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what was said. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I forgave my dad. That's rather practical, isn't it? You know how many people there are that can't forgive somebody else? I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. You can't. I agree. You can't. Oh, they've done so much to me bad. They've done so many wrong things to me. If you know what they did to me, you'd never forgive me either.
I can't. I never could. You can't. I agree with you. You can't. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can. Why? Because he tells me to love one another. He tells me to love my enemy. He tells me to love everybody. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, I can. And I like these responses. I can forgive my dad. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I've overcome sexual addiction. I've overcome drug addiction. I've overcome food addiction. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to forgive my ex-husband for all the wrongs that he's done to me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we've adopted two boys from Ethiopia. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I found peace after my husband passed away. By the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to this one. I lost 150 pounds and quit smoking. You know, think, what's the power of the Holy Spirit got to do with losing 150 pounds? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is self-discipline, temperance. And maybe that's what sometimes we need. And we can't control ourselves. We can't control anything about us. We can't control what we think, what we look at, what we handle, what we say, what we do. We can't control ourselves. But the Holy Spirit can. And in very practical ways, in very practical, down-to-earth kind of living that we're called to live, holy lives, separate lives, different from the world. Oh, I expect that that person would hate that person after what that person did to that person, but I wouldn't expect a child of the kingdom who's filled with the Holy Ghost to live that way. I wonder what your story would be. By the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it that you've overcome? What is it that he's enabled you to do? How has he enabled you to live? What victories have you won? And are you winning in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I need more of Jesus. I need more of his Spirit. Will you be baptized in this faith? Will you be baptized in the Holy Ghost to be free indeed? That's the power that you'll need, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so if you haven't sought the Lord, start seeking the Lord. Ask him. Read his word. Open up your heart and ask him. I need you. I need your strength. I need your power. Oh, I wish we could speak more about it. You're probably glad we can't. But I want Jesus to fill me more. I want him to come to my life and my heart and just live out his life in me. I want to be the transparent medium, his glory to display, but that takes his Spirit, his life, his anointing. And Lord, we look to you tonight for your anointing. Lord, holy anointing, rest upon our souls. Spirit of promise, all our lives control. And dear Lord, give us a hunger. Give us a desire, Lord, in every one of us, a longing to be filled with the Spirit. We pray for your glory and your honor. Amen. Amen. And tomorrow morning, we meet in the village. And you cannot go into the village until 10:10. So don't think about going down there. They're not open. They'll stop you at the pole down there after the dirt road. They won't allow you any further access until 10:10, and then you don't want to get there late. At the camp, I understand, is going to be packed out tomorrow for lunch and in the meeting house. And so you want to get there, you want to be ushered in, the ushers will seat you, and I would just suggest those of you that are on grounds and those of you that live here, you want to get a good seat. And so get there on time and be sure you do that. And I think that there might be one other thing that I'm forgetting. Oh, yes, important. Tomorrow morning is the only offering that is taken at Pilgrim Camp during the whole week. And the offering that is taken and collected is it all goes to helping children that perhaps couldn't ordinarily come to camp. It helps them to get here. And so the camp doesn't use it to, get different food or a new boat or gas for the whatever. But the camp uses all of the monies that come into the offering to help boys and girls get here. Those boys that stood yesterday and said, I thank Jesus for saving me, coming into my life. That's what that money's used for. It's a good thing. It's a good cause. And so you can go prepare tomorrow to the meeting and give accordingly if the Lord lays that on your heart.
The staff has staff meeting in a moment after we pray. And so the staff is going to stay. And the rest of you are welcome, the guests here, if you'd like to. There's a fire probably lit already down on the beach. And there are some little snacks that will be out there if you like s'mores and roasting marshmallows and whatever. And so we have the opportunity to join down there right now. When you're finished, when you put your Bible away or whenever, you can mosey on down there. I'm not sure if the clear weather is held, but if so, Brother Tom will be out there with his telescope, and you could probably see Saturn and the rings of Saturn. So it's a kind of nice thing to do if you'd like to spend some time down there. Could we sing that chorus again, Dan? You know it now, Brother Dan, right? Will you be baptized in this faith, baptized in the Holy Ghost, to be free indeed, 'tis the power you'll need, baptized in the Holy Ghost. God bless you. We're dismissed, and have a wonderful evening.